Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. I just got another message from someone saying that their internet connection is down. So that's three that's having problems getting in this morning. So to those of you who've made it, well done. And we hope and pray that some others will join us shortly. Let me begin this morning by focusing our minds and our hearts towards God. So let me just read a few verses from Psalm 34. "I'll exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And that's what we come to do this morning. We come to glorify the Lord, and not just individually, but together. And we're in this space online, but we do come together to glorify the Lord and to exalt his name forever. So let's do that. We're going to do that a number of ways. We're going to pray. We're going to read from God's word, hear from God's word, and we're also going to sing. So let's start in song this morning.
Responds and frees them when distressed.
Okay, I'm unmuted. Thank you, Amy. When you think about some things in that song, there's some really, really good lines. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. And then that very last line, God saves his own, they're not condemned. For in the Lord they trust. So with those in mind, let me lead us in prayer this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you are good. We thank you for the reminders we've just sung that you are good. And Father, that when we trust in you, we are blessed. Father, we thank you that in Christ we have every spiritual blessing that we can ever need. We thank you that in him we are forgiven people. We thank you that in him we are adopted into your family. We thank you that in him that you've given us your spirit, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And we thank you that in Christ we have the hope of eternity, the hope of glory, life forever with you. Father, we thank you that you are a loving Father. That Father, when we are weak and faint, you strengthen us. That when we are hungry and thirsty, you give us food. That when we wait upon you, we will lack nothing, for you give us all good things. Father, as we've also just sung this morning, we are reminded that the wicked are condemned to death. That, Father, because of sin, our natural inclination is to move away from you, to hate the God who is full of justice and righteousness and goodness. But we thank you that you have spoken into our lives, that you've helped us to see our folly, and that our only way back to you is through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we put our faith and trust in him, we do not stand condemned. Father, how great is your mercy towards us. How great your grace. Father, remind us daily of all that you have done for us. And remind us daily to lift our eyes to you, to praise your name with our voices, to glory in the Lord, to let our souls rejoice in you and exalt your name forever. Father, we pray this morning that you might continue your work in us, that we may know more of your goodness to us, to realize how blessed we are, and to continue to praise your great and wonderful name. We pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and Sarah's going to bring us that reading. Thanks, Sarah.
Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Joshua is installed as leader. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you now. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful not to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Thanks, Sarah. Some announcements for this morning. Usually this slide doesn't change much, but there's a couple of things about this slide today. So firstly, that ladies Bible study tomorrow, normally Monday, you meet at 2 o'clock. You're meeting at 2:30 tomorrow, half an hour later. So Monday at 2:30. The reason for that is Amy is going back to teach scripture at Lockhart. Scripture is going back. And so I think great to pray for Amy as she goes into Lockhart Senior School to teach scripture on tomorrow. So Monday 2:30 for ladies, or Tuesday 7:30. There was a great number of people on Tuesday for the ladies. Well done. It's great to see so many ladies joining together for Bible study on Tuesday night.
Can I just jump in, Craig?
Sure.
Just wanted to clarify that change from 2 o'clock till 2:30 is intended to be a permanent change. If you come on Mondays, and if that doesn't suit you, please let me know and I'll figure out something else.
Okay, men's Bible study, Thursday, 7:30 for the men. And our greenhouse group will be on Friday at 7 o'clock. Wonderful little moment happened on Friday. We decided to have a little Bible reading challenge. So all the young people have agreed that we're going to read a little passage of Scripture and that we'll talk about it next week. So if you're a young person, just a reminder, your passage is Luke 10, 25 to 37. And if you're not so young at heart, it'd be really great if you could pray for our young people as they read that this week. We'll have a little discussion on Friday, but it's great to see that young people want to read the Word of God together. So, and if you'd like to read it too, that'd be great. Luke 10, 25 to 37. I can see people writing that down, which is great as well. Okay, next slide, please. During the week, we went around and played Postman and handed out our new songbook. And silly me forgot to mention that the first song we sang this morning was in the hymn book. But the new hymn book is out. Amy's holding it up there. If you didn't get one and you would like a copy, we can arrange that for you. So you just need to let us know that you want a copy, and we can organise to get that to you. So we originally put this together because we thought it'd be a helpful thing, not thinking that we'd have to do a volume two. But that's what we've done. So, and that's all the announcements. In terms of services, we'll be back at this stage online this coming Sunday. We're just watching the restrictions. I've got another email during the week saying that singing will be legislated to say there'll be no singing. So previously it's been advice, but now they're actually moving to legislate that for church services. So things are constantly changing, and if we've got any updates, we'll let you know throughout the week. But at this stage, we're planning to be online. on Sunday, next Sunday. Rod's going to lead us in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession this morning. Thanks, Rod.
Just working on the technical department first. Yes. Let us pray. And as John mentioned in his words of Revelation, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and because of you, your will, they existed and were created. And Father, it is your will that we are mindful of. It is your will that gave us the beauty and the created things around us that we give you thanks and glory for. As many in this world worship what is created, they hug the trees and all that sort of thing, Lord. But we know, Father, that you are the creator, and it's to you that we give our glory and our thanks and our praise for who you are and for all that you've done and created. And Father, we just thank you, especially this day, the way that you have worked in and through so many different things. And we may not fully understand what goes on around us, but we can have that peace. And we thank you for that peace that you give us as we put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it is hard at times to know where to begin and where to stop in regards to praise and to thanks and for intercession and for prayers and requests. There are so many things happening. There are so many things that are in need. But Father, help us to be at peace, because we know that you are mindful of all these needs, that your will is sovereign, that you are sovereign over all things that happen. We may not understand it, but we accept it. It's because by faith we believe. It is through faith and trust in you that we do accept. It is we struggle with so many things. But Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given the world at this time technology where we can come together and to meet and to encourage and support each other in this way, as we are now this morning, as we look into your word and we sing songs and we just reflect on your goodness. But it is hard, Lord, to be alone at times, to be shut in, as it were. But Father, we're never shut out. Father, your arms are always open, that you are there for us at any time, at any minute of any hour of the day. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you've helped the leaders of the country, ones in different positions, to make decisions. It is hard. Okay, now it's legislated. We can't sing, but we can sing praises to you from our heart, Lord. We don't have to join together to sing, even though it is very nice. We just know, Lord, that things need to be done, as we can see big percentage of the world where they're selfish in that, where people are just spreading the bug because they really don't care. But you care. We care. We care for those that are affected and have been hurt. We care for those, Lord, that are suffering in different ways with different health things. And I know, Father, that you are the supreme healer. And healing is when we one day see you in glory in heaven. And we can never, ever thank you for that enough, Father God. So, Lord, as we just thank you for different things, whether it be the rain, the weather, even the fog, and that gives us moisture to help things grow. And many are still in need, so we uphold them to you, Lord. There are places that are really as in much a drought now as they have been for the last few years. But the biggest drought all is, Lord, is a spiritual drought, where people have turned their back on you. And we grieve as you do, Lord, that we want none to perish, but all to come to that point of repentance. And if in some way, if people are prompted by what's affecting the world at the moment in this virus, that they are prompted to search and to seek and to find the truth, we thank you and praise you for that. Because we know, Lord, that you let nothing go by. All things work together for the good of your glory and for your majesty. Lord, it is a delight to be part of your family. We don't take it for granted, Father. We accept it because we put our trust and faith in you. But we need to acknowledge it because we need to be right with you and right with each other. And as we struggle at times with different relationships and communications, may your spirit just iron those out and make things flow smoothly, as it were, as we get misunderstood and misinterpreted at times. And the reality is most things are done in love and care and concern, that can be taken wrongly. So help, Father, if our hearts have been touched wrongly, or our minds taken wrongly and our hearts have been affected, that we might have right hearts with each other as well as with you. Father, I thank you. I can never ever thank you enough for the way that you bless us, you keep us, you forgive us our sins as we confess them, Lord. And then you put them as far as the east is from the west, and we can never ever return to it again because you've just blotted them out. And you have made us whiter than snow through the precious spilt blood of our Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. So, Father God, as we do come together to praise you and to worship you now, may our hearts, not just now, but every minute of every day of the week, lift in praise and glory to you. And as we know the Lord Jesus is coming again, Maranatha, yes, come Lord Jesus, as we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing again. Unfortunately, this one's not in the hymn book, so unfortunately if you're on the phone, the words won't be in front of you, but we've sung this a number of times over the years, and it's a great song about what God does in us, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's sing this together.
Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say I am strong.
Let the poor say I am rich. Let the blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
If you've got your Bibles there, you might like to open up to 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 28. And I believe Florence has managed to join us, and she's going to bring us that reading.
I think I've unmuted Neil because Florence is on phone, not so.
Okay, I think Neil, you're reading the Bible.
Okay, right. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 28. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all of the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thanks, Neil. Just quickly do that, flip it over. Okay, there we go. All righty, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would once again speak into our lives. Father, we thank you for this letter written by Paul, real time, real people. Thank you that you speak into our time. We pray you'd speak into our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, recently I had a conversation with another minister friend of mine who was just about to begin in a new parish. As we got chatting, I asked him what book of the Bible he was going to preach through first. And he said, 1 Thessalonians. I said, that's interesting. I'm taking my congregations through 1 Thessalonians at the moment. I then asked him how many sermons he was planning on doing. And he said, 9. He asked me how many sermons was I doing. And I said, 16. And his comment was, man, you must be doing 1 Thessalonians in some depth. Well, indeed we have. Are you pleased to know that this is sermon number 16, and it's the last in our series? We've been in 1 Thessalonians for roughly 4 months, and also means we've been meeting online for roughly 4 months, but that's another story. Today is the last in our series. And you'll be pleased to know that we won't be going on to 2 Thessalonians next, as I've already preached through that way back in 2016. The end is here. A few final verses from Paul and we're done. Unfortunately, people do not give as much attention to these verses as they should, as they believe the substance of the letter is done, and like most letters, it ends with some form of greeting or instruction. A lot of people see Paul's last words in this letter as a benediction. Now, benediction is simply a word which means blessing. It comes from two Latin words, first meaning to speak, and the second meaning well, to speak well. But Paul is doing something far more than offering just some well wishes in these last few verses. Paul very skillfully writes the closing verses of this letter so that it not only connects the current situation in Thessalonica, but it echoes a lot of the key themes taken up in the letter. So let me illustrate with an example. In chapter 1, very first verse of the letter, Paul says, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace. And then in verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's no coincidence that Paul starts with grace and peace and ends with grace and peace. And we've seen grace and peace not only bookend the letter, but it runs right throughout the whole letter. God's gracious gift of the gospel, which he gives us, is full of grace and peace. It's emphasized again and again by Paul. There are some other themes, though, that also run throughout the letter, and two of those do stand out. The first is the theme of sanctification. One of the key verses in the whole letter, chapter 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. The second theme, which runs, which we spent 3 weeks actually looking at, is the return of the Lord. The great news that one day soon Jesus will return. So if you look at these opening two verses of this section, I hope you can see how Paul ties in these two major themes. So let me read that, verse 23 and 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Now, back in 405 AD, there was a monk by the name of Pelagius. And when Pelagius came to Rome, he was absolutely disgusted at the moral corruption in the city. Now, if Pelagius came to many of our modern-day cities, he'd probably be equally disgusted, if not more. But anyway, Pelagius believed that this moral corruption was caused not merely by the wealth and the power in the city, but also by the theology of grace that was actually being taught. So if that could be sorted out, Pelagius believed that the world would be a better place. However, Pelagius was particularly offended by a book in wide circulation at the time written by St. Augustine called Confessions. Now, Augustine wrote this book as a testimony to God's grace in his life, which had changed his heart and broken the sin in his life. The book is known for containing many famous prayers, one of which is there in the opening pages of the book, a very famous prayer. Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Another prayer, which really upset Pelagius, was this one. I have no hope at all but in your great mercy. Grant what you command and command what you will. Now, Augustine's point, which was very well made, was that God had no right to command whatever he desires, whether or not we as human beings are able to do it. But in saving people, God graciously grants the saving power that we need in order to live in obedience to what he commands. Anyway, a few years later, after 405, Pelagius and Augustine met and they got themselves into a bitter feud. And the issue quickly became the state of humanity after the fall of Adam and Eve. Pelagius said that the fall had corrupted human nature, but merely set a tragic example that men have followed. And so the gospel of the Lord Jesus corrected the fall merely with a good example to show what human nature can accomplish through free will. Augustine, on the other hand, said that before we are saved, we're in bondage to sin, so that salvation can only be caused by God's saving grace. Now, why is this debate actually important? Because it's essentially a debate about this. Is redemption a work of God or a work of man? Does humanity need to be born again, or does humanity merely need to be improved? Is Christianity about human freedom, or is it about God's grace? Now, for the last 2 weeks, we've looked at verses 12 to 22, and these verses would have done Pelagius proud commands and imperatives everywhere. So Pelagius would say, if we just follow these examples, we're on the right track. But as I've said before, and I'll say it again, indicative comes before imperative. Fact before command. Paul makes it very clear in our passage this morning, abundantly clear, on whom we depend for sanctification. It is God and his grace alone. God is the one who sanctifies us. God is the one who sanctifies us completely, or as Paul says, through and through. God is the one who sanctifies us comprehensively, or as Paul says, spirit, soul, and body. God is the one who sanctifies us perfectly, or as Paul says, blamelessly. God is the one who sanctifies us. And in case you're in any doubt, have a look at verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. God is the chief mover when it comes to salvation. God saves us by his grace, and he sets about bringing us into glory. How can we be certain God will fully and perfectly sanctify us? He's already shown us in saving us. And as Paul says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this should be a really great encouragement to us. We don't have to panic every time we fail to carry out one of the 17 commands we've looked at. We don't need to beat ourselves up with guilt when we stumble and fall. When we wish we could get the sin and the gunk out of our lives, we can look forward in hope to the day that we will be made perfect. When we feel we'd never be good enough for God, we can take courage, we have assurance through Christ. All we need to remember is that God is the one who has called believers to new life through the gospel, and he alone is the one who will ensure that every believer comes through the storms, the opposition, the difficulty to be presented before the Lord Jesus as a radiant bride adorned for her husband. Now that said, we must be on guard against complacency, thinking God's done all the work in me, it'll be okay, I'll rest on my past experiences or my biblical knowledge which I've built up. No. We must recognize that God always has work to do in our lives, and while he does the work, it does not negate human responsibility. God wants us to walk in obedience and faithfulness, but he provides the means to ensure that that happens. And we see how God does that through verses 25 to 27, where Paul says, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. Paul speaks of three things that God uses as he goes about his work of sanctification in our lives. The first is prayer. As you've seen already in this letter, Paul's constantly praying for the Thessalonians. But now Paul is calling on the Thessalonians to pray for him. The great apostle Paul, he needs the prayers of others. So how much more do we need to be praying for each other? Secondly, the fellowship with believers. Paul says to greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, it was a common practice of early Christians to greet one another with a kiss as a way of expressing their brotherhood in the Lord Jesus and fellowship within the Christian community. And over time, the practice actually made its way to be a component of the Lord's Supper. Now, today, the principle still applies in that we should be greeting one another and expressing our fellowship and unity in the Lord Jesus, whether that be through a handshake or at the moment an elbow bump. But it's actually much deeper than this. Fellowship is an essential part of God sanctifying his people. When we gather together as God's people on the Lord's Day around our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, it's God's way of administering his grace to us. And when we celebrate the sacraments, the signs and seals of the covenant of grace, we do so together as a way of expressing our unity with Christ and our unity with one another. Thirdly, and unsurprisingly, it's the reading and studying of God's word. Paul wanted his letter read to everyone so everyone could benefit. Reading and studying God's word, it's so vital, and I can't stress the importance of it enough. It's interesting, though, how times have changed. Before the Reformation, the church tried to keep the scriptures away from people. But today, the Bible is freely available to us, and yet we don't read it, causing a famine of God's word in our churches and in our homes, and we're all the worse for it. In Acts 2, Luke says that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that is what we must devote ourselves to as well. That's what theologians call the ordinary means of grace. They are blessed by God to contribute mightily to the sanctification of God's people. To utilize them is just making life hard for ourselves and will cause spiritual harm to people. God not only does the work of sanctification, but uses ordinary means of grace to do so. Well, that brings us to the end of this short letter written by Paul. It's packed full of goodness for our benefit. But let's finish by returning where we started from. Now, remember when we started, I said I wanted to look at 1 Thessalonians for two primary reasons. One, because it speaks about how Paul, who was physically distant from the Thessalonians, attempted to pastor them, which is similar to our situation. But secondly, because 1 Thessalonians is a book which encourages Christians to keep going, to make sure we finish the race well. There are too many people who start the Christian walk but never finish the race. And we need to take steps so that we're not one of them. It starts with a clear purpose of what we're actually doing. If the church's goal is just to survive, it will never survive. If we plan to just drift along in the Christian life, we'll be blown off course. If we're not anchored properly, we toss back and forward by everything that comes along. And if we're not prepared, we will miss out when Jesus returns. We must place our faith and trust in God and all of his glorious promises. We need to look forward to the hope and glory of heaven, which we'll receive when Jesus returns. We need to pray that God would sanctify us more and more by the means of grace that he has given to us. God has done it all for us in Jesus Christ. As the writer of the Hebrews summarizes, he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." May God continue to give us the grace and strength as we run the Christian race for his glory. God is faithful and he will do it. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Father, we pray that you continue to pour your grace and your peace and your mercy into our lives, that we would not be blown off course or tossed back and forward, but that, Lord, that we would be ready when your Son returns, knowing that we will go and share in all of the wonderful promises, the hope of glory, eternal life with you. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, day in, day out, and all that he has done for us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your songbook in front of you, you might like to open up to page 31. "This life I live is not my own." It's a great reminder of some of the things we've talked about this morning. Let's sing this together. " The benediction, and then after that we're going to go into some breakout groups just to chat and to have fellowship together. Might be a little bit unusual for you on the phone, not speaking to someone you can't see, but let me try and encourage you just to join with a few people, just have a chat to encourage one another. Let me leave us with the words from 2 Thessalonians. And this is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us. The message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen."